It makes absolutely no sense for you and I to be talking basketball and Donovan Bennett's in the studio and he's not talking basketball with us. So might as well bring him in, co-host of Free Association, Sportsnet Raptor, and NBA podcast. Hey, Donovan. Morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you guys as well.
Not much really has changed since the last time you were in studio. This team is still rolling. A work in progress. And certainly we can say that about the coach, right? Because we're watching him for the first time as a head coach in the NBA. And it's safe to say that last night, the transition in where to go in helping this game to its conclusion and to the W was as much on the coach last night as anything.
Yeah, I thought Nick Nurse had a really nice night. And I was interested to see what he was going to do pregame. We've seen Kawhi Leonard against Jimmy Butler when he was a member of the Timberwolves. We've seen Kawhi Leonard against Ben Simmons, obviously, when he was and still is a member of the Sixers. And I thought his choice was going to be indicative of who he thought was more important. And Butler had a nice night, obviously, right, led the game in scoring. But you're right, George. Kawhi put Ben in a straitjacket, if you will, in combined two games now, 18 turnovers, yeah. Simmons versus Kawhi, 11 in the first, 7 last night. And so he's kind of the head of the snake for them, as far as I'm concerned, and evidently as far as Nick Nurse is concerned. So I thought that was a real smart move, getting 21 turnovers that turned into 27 points, 27 points that you were going to need because, as you guys mentioned, the three-point shot was not falling. The other interesting thing I saw, and we've seen some Kawhi plus the bench lineups this year, which I thought has been really interesting because we've seen Lowry plus the bench be amazing from a plus-minus perspective in the past. Last night, if you believe it, we saw some Pascal plus the bench. And Pascal was a member right. of the bench last year, part of the bench mob. But when the Raptors made that run to start the fourth quarter, they had DeLon Wright and Fred VanVleet together in the backcourt. And actually, DeLon handling the ball and Fred off the ball. They had Pascal and JV as their bigs. And they had CJ Miles and OG Anunoby kind of going back and forth on the wings. That's the group that pushed the lead to 9. And then the Raptors brought in Kawhi and he took over and carried them home and extended that lead. I think Nick Nurse is still clearly tinkering, but everything he's doing is coming up roses right now. And I thought he had a real nice night against a team that doesn't have a lot of depth, but has some interesting matchups considering this is the only team in the East that's going to have 3 All-Stars this year.
Right.
And he handled that scenario well.
I've noticed with Nick Nurse so far, and maybe and not that Dwayne Casey didn't do this, but he definitely plays the hot hand. And I think we saw that last night with Jonas. Ibaka was doing a very nice job against Embiid, had 18 points, was shooting the basketball well. Ibaka was very solid last night, but Nick Nurse saw that Jonas had it going. He was dominating in the paint as well. The Raptors were really good on the offensive glass yesterday as well. It's just, I don't think we saw that with Dwayne Casey, especially when it comes to Jonas. There was times even last season, Jonas is playing well. He gets the hook. You're like, well, he's playing well. Why is he sitting on the bench? I just kind of feel like Nick Nurse doesn't do that, does he?
No. And the thing I liked about the decisions to stick with Jonas is, you're right, he had it going, 18 yeah. in the fourth quarter alone. And when you think of the matchup of Embiid, you know, Serge is a guy with a lot of pride. They have history. He likes, obviously, playing against them. But we've seen Embiid bully Drummond, bully Whiteside. He's a guy who likes to talk, likes to get in the other guy's head. And Jonas is a guy who'll just kind of smile and laugh at you. Like, that won't bother him right. at all. And Embiid struggled at times last night. He had a double-double, which is now his 23rd in 25 games, which is ridiculous. Nice. But he struggled to get there, just hit 5 shots from the floor.
Got a tech late because he was
right,
frustrated.
Got him barking, right.
Exactly,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so when you don't really engage in his kind of, you know, WWE heel antics, it does affect him. And I thought Jonas was good, and we're talking about him because of what he did offensively, but I think he was really good defensively staying on the floor. And something I think the Raptors are going to have to address is they are, especially their starting unit, at the bottom of the league as far as defensive rebounding. Serge, as good as he's been this year, it's not a great defensive rebounder, and Pascal is somewhat undersized. Their best defensive rebounder, by far, is Jonas Valanciunas. So for everyone who says, come playoff time when the rotations tighten up, and you're in matchups with some mobile centers, that Jonas's minutes are going to go away. I don't know if that's true, because the best way to get a stop defensively is securing the miss, and nobody does it better on this team than Jonas. So I think he has a big part to play on this team moving forward.
All right. We noticed something about Kyle last night, as George pointed out earlier. To win, they're going to need him to make threes. And he has been one of the better NBA point guards at shooting threes over the last few years. He seemed like he didn't want to shoot last night. Like, there were instances where you're going, okay, you're in a spot now where I know you, you shoot. And he didn't. And all of a sudden, he's looking for people, and it kind of changes the way that the Raptors normally play, the way that he normally plays. What's going on here?
Well, I mean, let's go back a couple games. He has a rough night against the Warriors, out with back spasms. And then since that time, he's had a 1-7 and a 2-8 from the floor. Now, the 1-7 you can live with because he had 11 assists. But last night, he had just 4 assists. And so, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I'll play one on the radio. He doesn't look healthy. And when Kyle's not aggressive, not probing, not looking to create offense for himself and others, and when he's not looking at the basket, I mean, we've seen that Kyle in the playoffs when he had injuries that he either didn't want to disclose or discuss, or that were impacting the way, you know, he shot from long distance, which is, I think, what we've seen. Remember in the playoffs, Kyle with the hoodie, getting shots up late at night, and there were questions about whether or not he was injured, and, you know, going back to the locker room to decompress, all of that conversation. I thought Kyle, who has been 1A with Kawhi as their best player and most reliable, he hasn't looked like himself for the past week.
So if Kawhi is getting the back end of every back-to-back off, is it time that Kyle gets some games off as well? I know he missed one, but...
Yeah, I think so. And the Raptors, after having one of the easiest schedules in the league, is now navigating one of the toughest stretches. Their toughest, if you ask me, for the bulk of the season. But when they come through this patch after... they go on the road, they play the Clippers, and then they've got a short turnaround and go up to Golden State to play them at Oracle. I do think we'll see some maintenance days for the general soreness like Jimmy Butler had in Minnesota for Kyle.
Last night, they win despite shooting 8-for-29 from three, yeah. And that's another impressive stat, because they don't shoot threes and they handle a team like the Sixers. The Raptors tied for 21st in three-point field goal percentage in the NBA. Is this starting to become an issue with this team, so much so that maybe they go out there at the deadline and grab a shooter? Do you think we'll get to that point? Because CJ's not CJ Miles. Fred VanVleet struggling from beyond the arc. We just talked about Kyle. I think that could be a health issue. He'll revert back to being Kyle Lowry again. But do you think maybe the Raptors, it would be prudent for them to go grab a shooter here towards the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, and there were the rumors about Korver, and I just think, well, who are you taking off the floor to play Korver? Because as much as he's giving you as far as gravity on the offensive end with his ability to shoot, he's not giving you anything on the defensive end.
Right.
And in the finals, the Cavaliers could not play Korver in big spots. So do you want to get to a situation in the Eastern Conference Finals or perhaps the finals, where you're carrying a guy who's not going to be able to contribute? That's somewhat the conversation with CJ Miles right now.
I understand, but you're not necessarily looking at him as, you're going to go through the early portion of games and go, this five, right, I think they can win for us. But there's a time when you're going to need that three in a game, and defense be damned, you're going to need a three, and that's a guy that I think George is talking about.
Yeah, I just don't know if you're giving up any of your pieces that anyone would want in this rotation to go and get one, right? What's the opportunity cost? I think the good thing, and you're right, all of their best shooters, not named Kawhi Leonard, struggled from three last night.
Yeah.
Kyle, Fred, CJ. The good news, though, is Kawhi's three, which did not look good to start the year, to the point where he wasn't really taking them, he was settling for everything in the mid-range, was good. He improved his three-point percentage by 3% last night.
Yeah.
Went 5-for-6 from three, and his offensive game in general has been so much better, averaging 33.5 in the last four. If he is able to shoot from deep, then that gives you another option. But I'll be really interesting if they do anything at the deadline. Could they use another you know, big that can help you rebound? Yes. Could they use a guy who could stretch the floor from three? Yes. But are you giving up any of your top 10, 11, 12 guys to get that person? That I don't know. Because you also don't have the pick capital anymore to go get someone either.
But the look is, it's a bad memory, right? Yeah. And watching, because they move the ball so well, you're getting the open threes. And they did that the last 2 years in the playoffs, and they missed those open threes. And that's what we're seeing now. You have time to shoot. NBA players that shoot from out there should be making those shots.
Yeah. No, it's a great point. I mean, that guy really has to be Kyle. I mean, we've had this conversation about CJ for a while. If he's not hitting the three, he's not really giving you anything.
Right.
You're looking down the bench and you're saying, I'd rather play Norm if he's healthy. I'd rather play Danny if he's healthy. I'd rather play OG if he's healthy, because they give you something much more on the defensive end, and they're better playmakers. And hopefully Pascal continues to be confident with his shot. I'd be interested. I mean, the name J.R. Smith is someone who will probably be moved. Do you want to bring him into your locker room? And again, what are you giving up to get him? Everyone wants three-point shooters. That's why they're hard to acquire. They cost a lot, and that's why I would be surprised if they make a move.
I know the elephant in the room is always whether or not Kawhi Leonard is going to stay here long-term.
Yeah.
But last night, especially with that game on ESPN, I think he put himself into the MVP conversation. He was incredible last night. What I loved about Kawhi Leonard as well was his explosion. He just looked explosive last night, and we really haven't seen that for the majority of the season. If, let's say, for argument's sake, and he'll cash in big time, if in fact, let's say Kawhi Leonard wins the MVP, do you think that would affect his decision one way or the other to stay in Toronto?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's already won a Finals MVP, and he didn't really care.
He got the hell out of San Antonio.
Right, yeah, so I think him feeling like the medical staff here and Alex McKegney being his MVP and keeping him healthy, I think that will play a big role in it. I think the MVP candidacy, I mean, I said in the first 2 weeks of the season, chanting MVP was a little bit ridiculous, but now the conversation, we're over a quarter way through the season, is real. And you mentioned him staying. Well, if he's looking around the landscape of the league, how many other situations are better? They have unlocked him offensively, where his usage rate is so much higher than it was in San Antonio, because they've said, yeah, we're going to give you X amount of isolation plays a night and let you cook. Something that he wasn't able to do previously with the Spurs. And the Sixers badly wanted Kawhi, and they weren't able to get it done. The Raptors did. They settled for Jimmy Butler. And the cost wasn't as high, but similar players. And even though Butler had a nice night, you saw the vast difference between the players last night. Kawhi at times took over, got a defensive rebound with 4 minutes left, passed Ben Simmons to get it, blew by Jimmy Butler, and then dunked with Embiid in the area. Those are three all-stars, and Kawhi said, yeah, I don't really care. And you mentioned the power that he played with. I was in L.A., and I was watching LeBron play the Suns, and really I just only watched LeBron, because why would you want to watch the Suns?
Right.
And he's the only guy who jumps, and the velocity with which he gets to the basket is faster than everybody else, never mind how high he jumps.
Right.
The only other person I can think about like that in the league, other than a healthy Blake Griffin a couple of years ago, is Kawhi Leonard, and we saw it twice last night. So when he's right and when he's healthy, he's, forget about top five, he's top three in the league. And I don't know if, because those guys dictate terms, I don't know if, whether it's the Clippers or LA and playing second fiddle to LeBron, I don't know. I just don't know, in the game of musical chairs, there's a better free agent option for him than the one that he's already in.
Would that make it easier then? And again, I hate playing this game, but would that make it easier if he left? Because then he's putting lifestyle and where he wants to be ahead of potentially winning another championship. Because when you look around the Eastern Conference, if he's here with OG developing, with Siakam developing, this is still a really good young team that has a ton of upside. And potentially they might get another free agent if he's still here. The team might just jump into the luxury tax all in for the Raptors. Well, would that make it easier to say, hey, clearly you just want to live in California and you don't care that much about winning, because the Warriors still aren't going anywhere in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I mean, if this team continues on this track, and again, we're only 26 games in, and Kawhi decides he's going to leave, I think Masai Ujiri can sleep at night saying, listen, I did my part. We went through our process.
Right.
We went and acquired the player. I took the media hit. I took the personal hit in my relationship with my former star in DeRozan, my current star in Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
We gave him an offense that flourished. We kept him healthy again so far, and he had statistically the best year in his NBA life, again, if he continues on this pace. And if he decides to leave, then so be it. I think Masai Ujiri can sleep. Well, he won't be happy, but I think he can sleep well saying, listen, there was nothing else I and we collective could have done.
In a conversation that George and I had earlier this morning, we're talking about Kevin Durant's comments from yesterday about toxic around LeBron and that maybe players wouldn't be interested in the Lakers. And I brought up that the Clippers, they're playing beyond their talent right now. And it's very possible that Doc is coach of the year. And George said, well, then that's not good. I mean, what the ingredient they might be missing is
Kawhi Leonard. Not cool.
Right. Well, the thing with them is they have a lot of contracts coming off the books. So if they want to, you know, do a home reno on the fly with Kawhi and possibly someone else, they can. But the other thing with them is, and I think this we're changing the way teams look at building a roster. We know the super teams and collecting all-stars, we get that. They've decided, and Jerry West has been a long proponent of this, we're going to build our roster by having a bunch of guys who don't suck. Mm-hmm. We may not have top-level talent, but from 1 to 12, we're going to have guys on the floor who you're not going to be able to take advantage of. We're not going to play any scrubs. And so you're getting above replacement-level basketball for the entire 48 minutes at every spot. That is their recipe for success. Now, does Kawhi want to be the lead singer of that group? Possibly. But I'd say the Raptors have a very similar formula. Just the top end talent is better. The contracts are kind of secured longer. And the talent is even younger than it is in Los Angeles. So in many ways, other than the thermometer when he walks outside, this situation in Toronto is very similar to the one with the Clippers. Just the talent's younger, and he has another all-star to share this the mantle with.
Two things real quick. We just talked about the top three Raptors of all time. What's your top three? Because I got DeMar, Vince, Chris, and maybe Kyle should be three, but I'm not putting Kyle there yet.
Is that your order, or it's just the Rushmore heads?
I am talking like greatest Raptors of all time. It's DeMar, it's Vince, it's Bosch to me.
Wow. Okay.
And if you get a Mount Rushmore, you do get Kyle.
Okay, then Kyle's head's on there too, because clearly he'll be on there too.
Well, I think DeMar and Vince, no question.
Yeah, just the third spot's the tough one, right?
Yeah, and I honestly think it's going to be Kyle, because especially at the end of this contract, if you look at his lifetime numbers as a Raptor, they're better than pretty much anyone. So I would my three would be Kyle, Bosch for that force. Fourth spot. I guess CB4. Yeah. Let's hope in 3, 4, 5 years we're talking about Kawhi being in that conversation.
And really, really quick, we have a poll out at Fan590, at Brady and Price, at RussickSN590. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas is a total banger, right?
What? Thank you very much. Oh, it's so good to have
Elliot,
you
here. Elliot's never heard of this song before today, which is impossible.
Well, that means you haven't been in a dental office around the holidays or a mall. An elevator, a mall.
Nothing. You're saying this is not a banger?
No, you're not going to torture him until he agrees with you.
I think of a song that gets me excited that I immediately want, if I don't have on my phone, to Shazam and make sure it's there in the playlist.
You don't have to explain.
That is not Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
This is a holiday banger.
Thank you very much. No.
I don't even think a holiday banger exists.
Asked and answered there, Russick.
The people are saying, yes, it is a banger. Over 60% of people right now.
Noel is more of a holiday banger than this.
That's it. We've had enough of you now, Donovan.